It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Luke 12:25.
And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
The Solomon was the greatest king. You are worried about everything, but you have no power to make yourself a half a cubit or one cubit taller or shorter. So you cannot make your hair black or white. He said, yes, we can do it today. Yes, but you can do it today for a month or 2 weeks. After that, you have to color again and again. You cannot do permanently transform your color. The Solomon was a great king, but he didn't have the beautiful clothes like those flowers. So what he's trying to say, these flowers are today here, tomorrow they vanish. The same thing grass. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 28.
If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Why are we suffering? Because we do not have faith in God. Once we have faith in God, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know how he supplies? He says, he will supply all our needs according to his riches. Our God is rich. He owns the whole heaven and earth and all the silver and all the gold and everything is belong to God. If he is willing to give it to you, he will give according to his riches. He says, you have little faith. That's what your problem is. But if you have the faith in Christ, faith in God, we will not have any problem. If you have faith in God, you will have everything. Verse 29, Luke 12:29.
And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind.
He said, don't be doubter, be believer. Read verse 30.
For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
So what he's trying to say, who are looking for those things? The nations of the world, that means the heathen people who do not have faith in God. But the Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says a little bit better. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. What things? The heathens are seeking. The world is seeking. Those things, God says, I know you have need. I'll give it to you because you are seeking my kingdom. You are doing my works. You are loving me. I know what you need. I will supply your needs. And God's word is true. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Let's read 32.
Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Now he's saying, fear not, little flock. Who is talking to? He was talking to his disciples. You know what? It is Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why he's saying? Because they gave up their job and they followed Christ. He said, now you're following me. The kingdom of God is belong to you. Read verse 33.
Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Now here somebody says, the God is trying to tell us, sell everything what you have and give it to the people who do not have. And then you follow me and then you keep your treasures in heaven and everything you will have. Otherwise, what you're keeping in the bank, it'll be corrupted. But the heavenly banks, it will be safe. Everybody has to sell everything? No. He's talking to his disciples. Then the Peter starts saying, Lord, everything we sold and came after you, what we going to get? He said, you're going to get 100-fold return on this earth plus the eternal life in heaven. Verse 35.
Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning.
If you go to the first Peter, he's telling what kind of loins you'll be girding. First Peter chapter 1 verse 13.
Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Keep your head pure. Don't allow the other thoughts to come and spoil your mind. Peter says, gird your mind. Book of Luke chapter 12 verse 36 and 37. Please read.
And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord when he cometh shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them.
Jesus Christ giving a parable, an example. He is going for the wedding. And he says, when he comes back from the wedding, and he knocks at the door, and somebody opens the door immediately, then he will be so happy and blessed. And he says, then what he will do, he will come in, and then he will gird himself, and then he will tell these people to sit down, and then he will serve them food. And I was thinking, who is that kind of person? If you are a boss, if you are the master, you have the servants, and you are coming from your trip, or here he says he's coming from the wedding, and so the bridegroom coming from the wedding and gird himself and serves the people. That's the only master I can see, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one. He took the towel, wrapped around his waist, and washed the feet of his disciples and feed them. That's the only master I can remember. But here we say now, if Jesus Christ is coming, and he says he's coming from the wedding, and so we have to be with him, will they open the door immediately for him? Now, this is like a twofold. Right now, Jesus Christ looking for people to open the door for him. If you read in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, I am knocking at your door. And if you open the door, I will come in. And he will not only come, but he will have a dinner or lunch or breakfast, whatever the time you opening the door for him. And so he is the only one can come and eat with you. So only person I can see who is concerned about your soul, your body, and your spirit is Jesus Christ. He says, even though he is coming from the wedding, and he says, I'll knock at the door. If somebody opens the door immediately, those people will have feast with me. I will be the one serving you in that feast. And so we should be so happy that we are born again children of God. We did not keep Jesus outside. He is not knocking anymore because we already open our hearts. We are already belong to him. When Jesus Christ comes, we will be gone with him and we will have the marriage supper. But we will be coming back in the millennium and we will be having millennium kingdom on this earth. So when Jesus Christ is giving this example, this is twofold. One is saying man is coming from the wedding and he sees the people opening the door immediately and then he can come and bless them and have the food with them. When Jesus Christ is giving this example, Peter got some kind of problem. Is he talking to us or he's talking to somebody else? Let's read verse 38 and onwards. Luke 12:38.
And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so. Blessed are those servants, and this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not.
Now here he is giving another example. He says, if the robber or the thief told you what time he is coming to rob you, what you would do? You will be watching and keeping watch on your property, and so you will be not allowing the thief to steal. So the same way Jesus Christ saying, sometimes he said, I will come as a thief. And so thief will not announce you what time he is coming. But we should be always ready. So here he's saying, the people who are always ready, they will be blessed. Because the verse 40 says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So the Jesus Christ did not give us the time, hour, and minute. You do not know what time he is coming. And so the Christian people, when they hear these things, they get scared. If the Jesus Christ comes when we are sleeping, do we think we have to watch all the time when Jesus Christ is coming? He says, you watch and pray, or you watch all the time. He says he might be coming in the second watch, or he might come in the third watch. Second watch is like almost midnight, and third watch is almost early in the morning. So which watch, which time he's coming? He did not give us the time. So the people are thinking, are we supposed to watch all the time and do not sleep? He's not talking about the physical sleeping. He's talking about the spiritually, you should be awake. Go to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read from verse 9 to 11.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
See what he's trying to say? God has not appointed us unto wrath. What does it mean? When Jesus Christ comes and he takes us and we will be with him, and then the wrath of God comes on this earth, the great tribulation or tribulation starts on this earth. So here the word of God is saying, we are not appointed for the wrath. We will be gone. But the people who are spiritually dead or spiritually sleeping, those are the people will miss. So here the verse 10, it says, you are sleeping or we are awake. He's talking about the physical sleeping here. But if we are born again children of God, if you are sleeping on the night or we are awake, we are going to make it. Why? Because we are spiritually alive. We are spiritually awakened. When the person commits sin, we say that person is spiritually dead. And so Ephesians chapter 2, the word of God says, Jesus Christ came and quickened us, and now we are spiritually alive. We are not dead. We don't have to worry that when Jesus Christ comes, he can come in the morning, he can come in the afternoon, he can come in the midnight. We don't have to worry. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 41.
Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?
Now Peter is saying, are you telling this to us, our disciples? Because he was looking at the disciples and talking to them. He says, are you telling us, or are you telling everybody? The gospel is for not for you alone. Gospel is for the whole world. Because Jesus Christ has given his life and shed his blood for us, so we should be telling everybody about Jesus. Let's read verse 42.
And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying, you want to know? Now this is also, Jesus Christ gave this kind of parable to let them know these Jewish people. In that time, Jewish people were only religious people. And all other heathen people, they were worshipping heathen gods and idols. He gave the parable of vineyard. He gave the vineyard to those people, and if they didn't take care of it, and he says, he sent the servant, and they killed him, and he sent more servant, and they killed him, and then he sent his son, and they killed him, and then he said, what the landlord will do, the master will do, he said, he will take that vineyard from them and give it to somebody else. That's what happened. He sent so many prophets. They didn't listen. Every prophet God sent, they killed them. And finally he said, now I'm going to send my son. At least they will listen to him. And they killed the son. And now he said, now I'm going to take that from you and give it to the people who will listen. Unbelievers means who do not believe in Christ or who deny Jesus Christ. And so those people and all the liars will go to hell. That's what he's saying. Their portion will be with unbelievers. But now we know where the unbelievers goes. Unbelievers will go to hellfire. Now, there is another scripture to make it a little bit clear. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Let's read 47.
And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes.
Now, here he's saying his portion will be, 46 he says, his portion will be with unbelievers. And now, at 47, he says he will be having many stripes. He will be beaten with many stripes. Now, if somebody has a many stripes, do you think that person will be alive? No. Many, many stripes you keep on beating, you will be dead. Not only dead, he will put him in a hell. If somebody doesn't want to listen to the word of God, and want to walk according to their will, and want to do whatever they want to do, and thinking they are Christian, he says, people can call themselves Christian, and if they not work according to the will of God, you have to repent of your sins, and you have to put it right with God. Otherwise, automatically, our sins are not forgiven. So here the word of God is saying, if you do not look for them, master to come and start doing anything you want to do, you will be cut into sunder. And your portion will be in burning hellfire and grinding your teeth. So that's what the point Jesus Christ is saying. Let's go back to the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 48.
But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
More you know the truth, more you are guilty about the sin. If there was a no law, there is no sin. More you know, more you have to answer to God. And somebody will have more punishment knowingly doing it. And so we have to be very careful. The word of God is saying, much is given, much is required. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 49.
I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?
This scripture is very difficult to understand. When the godly fire comes, consumes all the sin and makes you pure. So he says, I want to set the fire for the God. And then he's saying, I wanted to be baptized. I'm looking for that baptism. he is eagerly waiting, but at the same time, the flesh is weak. You remember he says, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. Jesus Christ wanted to be crucified, but he did not want to die in Gethsemane. If you die in Gethsemane with a bleeding, you will be not redeeming mankind. But if you die on the cross, it was a curse. So Jesus Christ said, I want to die on the cross so I can take the curse of mankind. I don't want to die bleeding. Could you pass this cup? I don't want to drink this cup, but I want to drink another cup where I will be crucified. And that's why he was talking to his disciples. I'm ready to drink the cup. Are you? He was not lying. And the word of God says, God heard his prayer and saved him from the death. That is Gethsemane. Every prayer Jesus did, God answered. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 51.
Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division.
Now somebody will listen to this, and he says, Jesus Christ says, you thinking that I came to this world to give you peace? No, I didn't come to give peace. 52.
For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
So here he's saying, I didn't come to make a peace on this earth. So now once you receive Jesus Christ, you have peace in your heart. Why? Because Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, he is the Prince of Peace. You have the peace in your heart, but the other people, they don't have peace because they lost their son. Once you receive Jesus Christ, your father will be your enemy. If you are a daughter, your mother will be your enemy. And so he says, there will be division in your house. If you are saved, your whole household will be saved. How is it going to happen? Is it going to happen automatically? No. You have to present Christ to them. You have to tell them, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Chapter 12, verse 54.
And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass.
Now, so in short, he's trying to say, you know how to do weather. Job knew the weather long time ago. And so the Jesus Christ is saying, now you people know the weather, the wind and cloud. But why can't you know the time today? He's talking to the Jewish people. He's saying, you know the weather, but you didn't know when the Messiah is coming. I'm already here, and you are not knowing my coming. Verse 57.
Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?
So he's saying, you do not know how to judge right and wrong. When you are born again, child of God, you know right from wrong. The word of God is saying, you know the truth, and you do not want to follow the truth. Verse 58.
When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite.
When we are alive, we have still time to make it right with God. And he's giving an example. In spiritually, he's saying, we are here now, free people. We are doing whatever we want to do. But the day will come, if you don't settle with God today, if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord Savior today, you will be going in a prison that will be hellfire, and there will be no escape. Please forgive all my sins. And those sins are forgiven and forgotten, and no record of it. And so we are righteous in the sight of God. Book of Luke, chapter 13, we are starting from the verse 1.
There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Now we don't know who bought this story. Maybe a Pilate's people, maybe Herodian's people, maybe Jewish people, maybe Pharisees, or some lawyers. We don't know who brought this question. And what was their reason to asking Jesus Christ or telling this story what happened in the town? You know what they say? They say some of the Galileans were killed and their blood was mingled with their sacrifice. It's a bad story. Now, they wanted Jesus Christ to react, maybe saying the Galileans were bad, they broke the law, that's why the punishment they got, or they wanted to hear the Pilate is a bad man and the government is bad and they are killing Galileans. Jesus Christ is from Galilee. So now, if they say this Galilean, one of you people were killed, what is your reaction? Jesus Christ did not blame the government. He did not blame the Galilean. But he took the chance, advantage. And he starts saying, do you think these Galileans were worse sinner than all other Galileans? So what he is trying to say? You are all sinners. Those people died accidentally. Somebody killed them. Maybe they broke the law or whatever. And mingled their blood with their sacrifices. Those Galileans didn't know that Pilate is going to slaughter them and take their blood and put it with their sacrifice. They didn't know. Don't think those people were worse sinners. He's saying, you are all sinners. And if you do not repent, you all will be perished just like them. Now somebody says, somebody is going to slaughter us and put our blood in the sacrifice. No. He is trying to say the death can come anytime. Or the death can come by accident. That you are not even thinking the day and time. And then Jesus Christ gives another example, verse 4. He says there were 18 people building the tower, and the tower fell on those people, and all those 18 people were perished. He is saying, do you think that these 18 people died in this accident? Those people are worse sinners than all Jerusalem?
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.